You are listening to the Vet Podcast, presented by veterinarian Dr. Brian Greger from New Zealand and featuring an international team of animal health professionals. Join us as we discuss pet health issues from around the world.
There's an old saying, now I'm not actually sure where it even comes from. It's been a long time between drinks, and it certainly has for the Vet Podcast. It's been probably a year since I have broadcast the last Vet Podcast. I've had a busy year, I've had a number of projects on, and to be truthful, I just haven't had the time to do this podcast justice. But surprise, I'm back. First thing you notice that is a wee bit different at the moment is that there are no sponsors. I have been kindly sponsored by both Zoetis and Eukanuba for the last few years. I've had to let their sponsorship lapse because truly I weren't doing them justice with the lack of podcasts. So I do thank them very much for their sponsorship of old. Now that leaves me obviously without a sponsor. If you, your organisation or somebody you know would like to insert some advertisements into this podcast, please let me know. Either email me at vetpodcast@gmail.com. That's just as it sounds, vetpodcast, V-E-T-P-O-D-C-A-S-T, @gmail.com. Or chase us up on the Vet Podcast Facebook page. So what we're going to do for this first rebirth of the Vet Podcast is talk about a subject which is, I don't know whether it's a little bit of a concern to the veterinary profession. We'll discuss the ins and outs of it, feminization of the veterinary profession. And I'm going to add a new section to the Vet Podcast. For the want of a better word, let's just call it great work stories. Just stories that have happened to me, and if you would like to contribute, stories that have happened to you as a veterinarian or an animal health worker in the course of your everyday life. There is a trend, or maybe that is the wrong term to use. There has been a groundswell change in the gender proportions in many of the professions, and the veterinary profession seems to be at the forefront of this change. When I was a veterinary student, which granted was a long time ago, 65% of my class was male. Now the males make up only about 20% of the veterinary students in New Zealand. In the US, female graduates have gone from 11% in 1970 to 80% in 2013. There is a similar trend in the UK, as mentioned in New Zealand, and also in Australia. This change begs two questions. Why is this occurring, and what is the effect on the profession? The why brings us to the realms of educational science, which I will be the first to admit is not my field. It comes down to the simple fact that statistically, girls do better at school than boys, for whatever reason. As most vet schools have as one of their major admission criteria, academic ability, it follows then that if the girls are better prepared academically, they will be more likely to be selected for vet school. Is it that simple though? No, I don't think so. There is a shift to the fundamental nature of veterinary practice. When I was training, there appeared to be an emphasis on rural vetting, racing around the country in fast cars, doing physical things to farm animals, carvings, pregnancy testing, treating lame horses. It was a male-dominated world, out in the mud and the heat, manhandling large beasts. Not so anymore. Large animal techniques have greatly improved. No longer are we relying on ropes and physical restraint. Tranquilizers and sedatives have made work much simpler and, thankfully, a lot safer. Strength is no longer a major requirement for a veterinarian. It is technique. A large amount of our large animal workload is now consultancy. We have moved away from the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, treating the dead and dying. We are now looking at the farming operations with a totally different slant. How can we increase production? How can we improve stock health? How can we better the welfare of these animals? Again, a facet of the profession where brute strength is not necessary. There has been a huge change in the perception of what a vet does, brought about to a significant extent perhaps by the large number of veterinary reality programs on television, which invariably focus on the companion animal part of the profession, the cute and cuddly. Again, when I qualified, looking at companion animals was what we did while we were waiting for the jug to boil. This is probably a bit of an exaggeration, but the veterinary science and the available techniques and equipment have advanced beyond belief, making companion animal medicine a lot more prominent. A lot of this part of our profession is deeply merged with treating the owner. there is a lot more emotional energy shown by the owners, without wanting to get pillared for this. Are our female colleagues better at this? Is this making veterinary medicine softer? Perhaps not so masculine, I don't know. So then, what is the effect on the profession? Personally, I don't think it's making a huge difference. Male or female, we are all trained the same with the same knowledge. In my practice, for example, there are 13 veterinarians, 10 of whom are female. A large part of our workload is rural. On the whole, the old school sexist attitudes of the farmers have gone. Granted, in the past there were some old crusty farmers who didn't like the female vets doing some of the physical work required. But now, with a younger, more enlightened group of farm owners, the sex of the vet is just not an issue. The split in numbers in our practice is probably the norm in larger practices in New Zealand. But hidden in here is probably my biggest concern. The three males of the practice are the three partners. That is, we own the business. There appears far fewer women who are interested in practice ownership. There are different priorities, raising a family, and perhaps even a better appreciation of work-life balance. This in part is leading to the corporatisation of the profession. There is also another interesting change in the profession hidden in the numbers. Five of the vets are working mothers. They have had children and returned to the workforce part-time. As an employer, this is actually a useful change. The limiting factor is the availability of childcare, but we find that having a flexible workforce, rostering is very much simplified. There is a downside to this too, unfortunately. As part of the human condition, it is natural for a large number of the female graduates to slip out of the profession to have children. There is no denying that there are issues involved with this. Maternity laws, at least in our part of the world, mean that their position has to be kept open for a period of time, causing management issues. Being out of the profession for a time may lead to the need to do some retraining on the return, and as enlightened as our society has become, it is still often the mother charged with the responsibility of looking after sick children, and the school holidays may become an issue. In our situation, we have found that these issues are not major. With good communication, there is always a solution. It would appear that feminisation of the veterinary profession is here to stay. Am I concerned? No, it simply means that we have to manage our staff and workflow differently than in the past. But is change such a bad thing? I would be really interested to hear our listeners' thoughts on this. Please either email me at vetpodcast@gmail.com or contact us through our Facebook page, The Vet Podcast. There was an advertising campaign a few years ago by the New Zealand Police Force that went along the lines of join the police force, get great work stories. As veterinarians, probably most of us, especially those of us that have been in practice for a while, actually don't need to join the police force to get great work stories. Our life just seems to be filled with the bizarre and the crazy. Over the next few episodes of the Vet Podcast, I think I might just drag out some of my crusty old stories just to show you some of the strange situations that we get ourselves in. The first story that comes to mind occurred a long time ago, when I was a new graduate, in fact. One of my first jobs was working in a rural area of New Zealand called the Taranaki. This is up in the North Island on the west coast. The predominant landmark there is a mountain called Mount Egmont or Mount Taranaki. It goes by two names. This is a national park. It's fairly rugged. It's a big conical volcanic mountain. Now, I was on duty. This was springtime. I got a phone call just on dusk, so it was probably about 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night, from a client who lived right on the border of our practice and the national park. So it was fairly high, fairly rough farm. This is a guy that we didn't do very much work for. But anyway, he gave me a ring telling me that he had a cow down. Now, a cow down is parlance maybe throughout the world, definitely in New Zealand, for one of these cows. Normally that goes down after calving, and they normally got a metabolic problem, low magnesium, low calcium, calf stuck, number of things that could be causing the problem. So as I was on call, packed up the car and headed on up the mountain, which was probably about a half hour drive to get up there. Arrived up as we normally do to the cow shed, normally we would expect to find the farmer up there. One of the things I find quite frustrating is to arrive at a cow shed like I have on this call and there'd be no one waiting there for you. These days you would get on your mobile phone and give them a ring. Back then, no such luxury, so it was back down the track, down to the house. Knocked on the door, and he opened the door dressed in his going-to-town finery. Asked him where the cow was, and he sort of looked at me a little bit blankly, and then he says, I think she must have got up and walked away because I couldn't find her when I went to have a look at her again. So that was all right. So got back in the car and was just about to head back into town. He says, oh, you're going straight back to town now? And said, yep, just on the way back down the road now. He says, oh, look, mate, couldn't grab a lift with you, could I? So, yeah, okay, in you hop. So as we're heading back down the road, we're just making small talk. And I said to him, look, pal, I'm going to have to charge you the visit anyway to come up here and see this cow, even though we didn't actually see her. And he said, look, Brian, won't be a problem. He says, actually, do you know what? Your call-out fee is actually less than the taxi fee. This just begs the question, doesn't it? Was this cow ever actually down, or was he just after a cheap trip to town?
You have been listening to The Vet Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, The Vet Podcast app in Play Store, iTunes, Google Play, or bookmark us in your favourite podcast player. To contact us, message through Facebook or email vetpodcast@gmail.com.